sacred veins.
Beginning this evening in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the valley wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord,
who lives
and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The first reading this evening comes from the book of Acts, chapter 7. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and yet did not keep it. The second reading this evening comes from the second book of Timothy, chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen of conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel this evening is recorded in the book of St. Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have the Passover lamb? Where will you have it for you and us to eat?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you with a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" And he said to them, "It is one of the 12 who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for him that he had not been born." And as they went to the place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to Jesus at once and said, "Rabboni," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Here ends the reading of our gospel. You may be seated. Tonight, we'll begin by looking at and through the betraying eyes of Judas. But I want to say and have you point out not only what Judas did and how wrong it was, but the importance for us to also look intently into our own lives. And then to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In the Gospel of Mark, Mark writes that Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 who went to the chief priest with the purpose of betraying Jesus. Mark's mention that Judas was one of the 12 highlights the deeply personal narrative and nature of his treachery and the brazen brashness of his betrayal. Judas had been one of the chosen 12, one of countless Jewish men who could have otherwise been chosen as one of Jesus' select disciples, those who would be in his inner circle. Judas knew firsthand the love, the mercy of Jesus. He'd witnessed the powerful miracles that Jesus had performed to the crowds. He had heard the Beatitudes preached and taught, and he had heard the parable of the rich fool and the warnings of greed that were drummed into his ears by Jesus' messages. Judas had gone out and also preached even in Jesus' name and returned with the other disciples saying, "Even the demons obey us." And Jesus says, "Rejoice not in that, but that your names are recorded in the book of life." As we start to look at this, we see that there were warnings all over the place. And that Judas, who had preached even in Jesus' name, was a follower of Christ and was so close to Christ. How he must have been shocked when he found himself to be one who had betrayed Jesus. And who had his own hands and his own admission with his own plan to put in place that he would sell Jesus for a measly sum of 30 pieces of silver. Even though it was about a year's wage, it certainly wasn't that much. And when we start to think that, and we see the end of Judas's life, we're shocked that such a one could find that on Judgment Day, he was found at the short end of that rope. As one who had been faithful, how faithless he became. If you and I start to examine our life, perhaps this is a lesson and a backdrop for us to examine and see inside of our heart and to pray with the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any hurtful way inside of me. And Lord, lead me in the everlasting way. Don't let me go astray." Judas had sought out the chief priest with an offer to hand Jesus over to them. And when they heard it, they were very glad because they also promised to give him money if he would do it, because the Jewish leaders were seeking to betray Jesus and to capture him in such a non-public setting, inconspicuous, under the cover of darkness, so that the crowds would not be able to rise up and defend Jesus. This was the ideal opportunity. The middle of night in an isolated place, Judas himself would acknowledge who the Jesus, the Christ, was in the darkness so that the crowd that had come with him could arrest Jesus and take him away secretly and silently. We also learn that Judas was a greedy man. He was a thief who had raided the temple robbery or temple money that Jesus would collect in his ministry. And when we start to think about all of that, we would start to see that Judas was one who would try to sometimes line his own pockets. And perhaps from last week's story, he was a little bit upset that Jesus had spent and had allowed this woman to pour that very expensive perfume all over his head when it could have been given. And Judas could have perhaps gotten a little bit of that $30,000 value. Judas' plan was so simple, but so deadly. But he first had to sit through an evening at a dinner, the Passover dinner with Jesus. And if you can imagine sitting around the table as one of the disciples, and then Judas being the one who knew what he's about to go and do, and hear the bomb that Jesus drops. As they were reclining at table, Mark tells us, and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Can you imagine trying to figure out who that might be? And the disciples all looking at one another, that somehow those 13 pairs of eyes would be looking, the 12 disciples and Judas, and Jesus, looking at one another. And the disciples all asking the question, "Is it I? Is it me? Lord, will I betray you?" You can just picture with great suspicion how they went around. Some were perhaps tears streaming down their faces and wanting to know, is it him that will betray Jesus? What do you think Judas's eyes were doing? Did he look down in shame? Did he nervously glance around the room trying to catch what others might be thinking about him? Did he put on a good show and act like it certainly wasn't him? We can't know for sure, but I do bet that it was the latter. He didn't want his secret to be uncovered, at least not yet. What's striking about Mark's account is that Jesus didn't point him out either. We don't hear that the traitor is Judas until we arrive at the Garden of Gethsemane. Why do you think that is? Could it be that Jesus wanted the 12 to examine themselves? And to be able to look into their heart of hearts and to be with David the psalmist, that Psalm 139, 23 and 24, "Search me, O God." Was it so that they could do a self-examination, knowing that Jesus had said to Peter, "Before the end of the evening, the cock will crow twice. You will have already denied me three times." As each of these men had their own coming up, their own shortfalls, their own situations, they needed to examine themselves and needed the capability to be able to do so. Were they, like Judas, able to betray innocent blood, to commit treason against the Lord? Jesus wants each of us also to be able to examine our hearts and our loyalty to the Lord. As you and I start to look at that question, is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it me? What we start to see is that each of us have betrayed Jesus. We each have the sin of Judas upon our stained souls. All of us have committed to treason, turning against our Lord. That's what sin is. It's the betrayal of the King of grace. And if we were to die to our sin, we certainly would not be alone. And it would be like Jesus said, it'd be better for us not to be born if we were to die in such a condition. But that's why in the upper room there's such good news. The Son of Man will go as it's written, is what Jesus told them in Mark 14, 21. And then again in the garden, Jesus says, "Let's go. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into sinners." And you remember Jesus' words as he prayed unto his heavenly Father in that garden. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not your will, not my will be done, but rather your will." Jesus realized that this was his time. This was the time appointed for him. This was the very purpose for why he came. That yes, he would take upon himself the sins of the entire world. Judas's, yours and mine. And as he was betrayed by Judas, and he's been betrayed by us through our own sins, Jesus was willing to pour out his sacred lifeblood and suffer an innocent death upon a cross to atone for our sin, the sin of the entire world. The Son of Man came not to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. That's what's happening here in the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus is led away. This is a deep mystery, but it would be Jesus whom the Heavenly Father was also handing over. As you and I read in that very familiar gospel verse, God so loved the world, God so loved you, and he loved me so much that he sent Jesus, his own Son, to suffer and to die and to pay the price for your sins and mine. And those who will believe upon him, he gives the power to become believers and to have life eternal in and through Jesus alone. Judas denied and discounted that he could be forgiven by such an act of Christ, even though Jesus would suffer, would die. He would not put aside his wrongness of his sins and see that the payment had been made in full or would be soon in Christ. And he thought that somehow he had to pay the price and pay the penalty for what he had done in betraying Jesus. Sometimes we feel that way too. As though our sins are just too much to even have God forgive. There's no way we should be able to even ask God to forgive that. This isn't the first time we've gone or asked or sought the Lord's forgiveness. But it is the Lord himself who came for this purpose. When you and I start to see this, I think it's important for us to also understand something very important, and that is in baptism, You and I have been washed clean by the blood of God's Lamb of grace. We don't need to hide our crimes of sin, but rather to confess them. God isn't surprised that you and I are sinners, or that we've betrayed Him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, you and me. He was willing to lay down His life for you and for me. And as a result, God tells us that His blood cleanses us of all sins, all of them. And so, my friends, we may have betrayed Jesus in our eyes, but what do we learn this evening? Fix our eyes not upon ourselves, but to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy of the cross that was set before Him endured death itself so that you and I might be saved. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join us as we sing Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. And we'd like to take up the offering at this time as well. Please stand. O Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed give You thanks and ask Your blessings upon us as the author and perfecter of our faith. O Lord, help us to fix our eyes upon You as we go through times of suffering, sickness, sadness, and feel as though, O Lord, all alone, suffering in a world that seems so uncaring at times. We also ask, Lord, for Your blessing to be upon those who are sick and suffering, and for Your healing hand to be outstretched upon them and to grant their prayers and ours set on their behalf. May your grace be extended to them, and may they with joyous eyes fix their eyes upon you, but also with their mouths give you praise and thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy, Lord Jesus, we also ask that you would bless us as a congregation, as we will this next week be voting upon our decisions regarding a change, possible change of service times and fellowship and Bible study. Lord, may you grant us wisdom, but also may you especially grant us a oneness of voice, a unity in spirit, and to be able to be one body in fellowship with one another, and with eyes fixed, focused permanently upon you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, into your hands we place this congregation, its ministry, its pastor, its teachers, our CDC, and our congregation. May you bless us all and keep us safe during this time of the coronavirus. We ask, O Lord, for quick, merciful and joyous recollection of what types of drugs might be able to ward this off. Help us to discover a vaccine. Lead us in the pathway so that this disease cannot spread to many more people. Keep us safe, O Lord, in your mercy and grace, even as you did the children of Israel. O Lord and Father, we look to you, Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. Please join me with our closing hymn, Abide With Me, 878.